The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Tuesday, March 28th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me. We begin with the mass shooting that took place in Nashville at a private Christian school, killing six people, including three children. One of the deceased is the shooter, who has been identified as Elizabeth Hale. I will address the questions of Elizabeth's gender and the pronoun usage that should be applied to this individual as the mass shooter as we go along in the conversation. I want to acknowledge that at the beginning simply because, well, it is a huge component of this story in terms of how the conservative movement is responding. Normally, we see the conservative movement only respond with thoughts and prayers. We've seen every time that there has been a mass shooting in this country, the conservative movement, the Republican Party, has sided with the NRA to protect weapons from the death of children. I want to say that again. This country has insulated and protected AR-15s and guns from the repercussions that should come when so many children are killed on a regular basis. But because the conservative movement in this country has a fixed ideology, and that ideology is one of carnage through mass proliferation of weapons, that's their ideology. They do so for the benefit and the profit margins of gun manufacturers, but the result, what they get out of it and what Republicans have made this country comfortable with, is sheer carnage, where every single week we have a mass shooting that takes the lives of some people, and far too often, at least once a month, it seems like it's taking the lives of children. And we have seen since Sandy Hook back in 2014, when Joe the Plumber got on the microphone for the conservative movement and said that our dead children, America's dead children, should not infringe on his Second Amendment right. That's when I knew this country had no soul. But because the mass shooter yesterday, who shot up a private Christian school, killing 3 9-year-old children, and I just want to slow down and say this again before I even finish the B part of that sentence. 3 9-year-old children will not be going home to their parents. I don't care what race, I don't care what religion, I don't care what ideology of those children or those parents. These are now families who are broken irreparably for the rest of their lives. And this is the type of tragedy that happens on a regular basis. But because this mass shooter is apparently transgender, the conservative movement has gone from thoughts and prayers to actively calling for violence and summary executions. This is not hyperbole. Let me read you a tweet from Senator Rick Scott, who is also the former governor of the state of Florida, one of the leaders of the Republican Party. This is what he took to Twitter and said yesterday, quote, "We need to consider an automatic death penalty for school shooters. Life in prison is not enough for the deranged monsters who go into our schools and kill innocent kids and educators. Pray for all facing the unimaginable in Nashville. This is horrible and must stop." First of all, this is clearly just another appeal to the level of violence that conservatives live in and revel in. Conservatives do not understand a life without violence. From colonization to mass shootings, it is in their bloodline. It is in their identity. It is in their philosophy. It is in their religious practices to exercise violence. Ask the perpetrators of lynchings who would kill black people on Sunday mornings just before they went to Sunday school. It is ingrained in their thinking. This is the truth about conservatism. Rick Scott let the cat out of the bag. The other half of this truth is that they simply were waiting on a mass shooter that they could stand against. But I digress. I will come back to that portion of the conversation later. I just want you to understand all of the moving parts, all of the nuances that we are going to be dealing with in the aftermath of this particular shooting, starting always with the tragedy itself. The cowardice that it takes. I don't care who the mass shooter is. I don't care what their ideology was. This is a rare occasion where this individual was not a white cis male. The rarest of occasions in this country, as we look at the identities of every mass shooter, they are white men. They are traditionally traditional. They are conservative. They have grievances against modern culture. They have grievances against modernity. And they all hearken back and study the teachings of conservatives like Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and all of that group. That's who the mass shooters are in this country. But I don't care who they are. It is the fact that we have weapons that allow these cowards, whether they are male or female, transgender or cis, but we can't even draw that false comparison because the overwhelming majority of mass shooters are white Christian men. But regardless, the fact of the matter is that there are three children who are dead who cannot go home to their parents. And that is an American phenomenon. That is an American epidemic. That is something that is going to continue to happen as long as we worship guns in this country. Listen to this clip of a mother who was just outside of the Christian school where this mass shooting took place yesterday. She took over a press conference and asked what so many of us have always wanted to ask.
Aren't you guys tired of covering this? Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover all of these mass shootings? I'm from Highland Park. Family vacation with my son, visiting my sister-in-law. I have been lobbying in DC since we survived a mass shooting in July. I have met with over 130 lawmakers. How is this still happening? How are our children still dying and why are we failing them? Gun violence is the number one killer of children and teens. It has overtaken cars. Assault weapons are contributing to the border crisis and fentanyl. We are arming cartels with our guns and our loose gun laws. And these shootings and these mass shootings will continue to happen until our lawmakers step up and pass gun safety legislation. I'm pretty sure this was an unsecured weapon that this teenager got a hold of. We can't even pass gun safety, like safe storage laws in this country to protect kids from getting a hold of weapons that they shoot each other with.
Now, one correction, this was a 28-year-old mass shooter, but everything else this mother said is absolutely correct. And what's terrifying is that she survived, her child, they survived a mass shooting just in July. See, this is the thing. The only thing different about today's aftermath of yesterday's mass shooting is the gender identification of the mass shooter. That's it. Everything else is pretty much par for the course for this country. And so you ask yourself the question, what is the one thing that is changing the energy that's coming from the conservative movement? Is it the fact that children died? See, for me, that's the thing. Because we as Americans are actively enacting some of the most, not some of, the cruelest form of violence against families, and that is to snatch away their precious children. I mean, I think that is the cruelest and the evilest form of violence. But that hasn't changed. That is consistent. Look at Uvalde. Look at the aftermath of the families who have to live without their children in that mass shooting. Look at Stoneman Douglas. The families whose children almost made it out of high school, but now they're dead, right? We're snatching babies away from their parents, away from their futures, away from their siblings, away from their friends. And we're creating an entire generation of children who are traumatized, parents who can't recover because their children have been taken from them. So it's, no one can pretend as though the violence that took place yesterday is unique. No, it is literally par for the course. We have been desensitized to it. It has been normalized. We hear about children getting killed and we go back to work the next day like nothing happened. Matter of fact, we change a channel and go to back to streaming. We go back to scrolling through TikTok and go back to scrolling through Instagram like nothing happened. But the only difference that we have today since the mass shooting yesterday is that we have a conservative movement who is actively calling for retribution, for revenge, for violence, and they're calling for it against the entirety of the trans community because the mass shooter in yesterday's shooting has been described as transgender using he, him pronouns, although the authorities have identified the mass shooter as Audrey Hale, who has apparently left a manifesto. And as the authorities go through that, I'm sure sometime today we will see and hear details of it. And if anything in that manifesto is something that can be used by the conservative movement to harm the transgender community, they most certainly will use this as a flashpoint to bring as much pain to the transgender community as they possibly can. Not because they care about children who died. Because they didn't, they literally did not care at Sandy Hook. They sent out Joe the Plumber to tell everybody in this country that their dead children shouldn't infringe on their gun rights. They don't care about the dead children. If they did, they would get rid of the AR-15s off the streets. They don't care about any of that. What they care about is enhancing and forwarding violence. And in this case, they have the opportunity to use this mass shooting in Nashville, this most unfortunate and tragic mass shooting. You are guaranteed that we're going into an era where the conservative movement will use this as a flashpoint to commit acts of violence against the transgender community. Additional acts of violence against the trans community. And what we're faced with right now is a phenomenon, a technique, a methodology that the conservatives have used in this country forever. And this is a technique that they use to maintain power. And this is what they're doing. They will take the extreme outlier, the extreme example, the worst example that they can find from our side of the equation, from the left, from progressives, from black people, from the trans community, from the LGBTQIA community, from women, whatever group conservatives are fighting against that week, whatever group they are hating that week, whatever group they are trying to foment stochastic terrorism against that week, they will find the worst example and amplify it, put it up as if it is the norm. And this is what's going on right now. As more information is coming out about the mass shooter, conservatives have locked in not on preventing the next mass shooting, not on protecting children from the next mass shooter. They have locked in on how they can weaponize this against the trans community. And so now they're taking this, which is an outlier. It is a clear statistical outlier. When we talk about mass shootings, they are overwhelmingly committed by white Christian men in this country. And now that the conservative movement has an outlier, they would take that outlier and hold it up as if it is the norm rather than the exception. And this is what conservatives are masters at. They will take anything they possibly can, no matter how fleeting of an example it is. It doesn't matter that there's no statistical significance that suggests that the United States of America should look at the trans community in terms of acts of mass shootings. There's just no data to suggest that. What they have is a single outlier in yesterday's mass shooting, and they are now going to, conservatives, Republicans, are going to use it as if it was the rule instead of the exception. I had this phenomenon. I confronted this in a debate with Sargon of Akkad many, many years ago. He is a far right wing extremist. And before he went off into the deepest of extremism, there was a moment years ago where he and I had a pretty reasonable debate. And in that debate, it was so easy to expose to him and his audience what they do. They want to use outliers to categorize the entirety of the black community, to categorize and vilify the entirety of the LGBTQIA community, to categorize and vilify the entirety of any community that they need to vilify. Whether it be the Muslim community, whether it be women, it doesn't matter. We can see clearly the MO. You take an outlier, you take an extreme example that does not reflect the norm, and you pretend like it does. And we know what happens at that point. Conservatives always move to get critical mass. And that is their ability to create legislation, actual policy that affects our lives with material impact. So what I want to emphasize, conservatives know how to get real things done in the real world based on lies, based on taking the extreme instead of the norm, taking the outlier instead of the statistical evidence that shows that in this country, white, cisgendered, right-wing men are the mass shooters in this country. If we were watching Criminal Minds, the profile of the unsub would always be a white, Christian, right-wing, cisgendered, incel boy. That's just, but they will never enact legislation to address them. They will never enact legislation to address the guns. But listen to this tweet from Matt Walsh, who is leading his own unholy crusade against the transgender community. Never has this man ever, ever, ever cared about mass shootings enough to actually do something about it. But this is what he said yesterday. He said, always remember what happened at the Covenant School. Remember what happened to those innocent victims, to those children. We are facing a truly demonic evil. Never forget that. Do you think he's talking about mass shootings writ large? Do you think that he's talking about banning AR-15s, which has been the weapon used in every single mass shooting in our lifetime? Do you think he's talking about that? No. What he's talking about is the fact that this mass shooter is apparently transgender. I'm still waiting to get all the information so that I can properly identify the mass shooter. But because authorities are discussing the pronouns versus their biological birth, Matt Walsh has swooped down onto the scene. He is excited to have an opportunity to talk about the genitalia of this mass shooter. And coming up, we're going to take a quick break. Coming back after this break, I want to read a tweet from David Pakman, who has he has pissed off the entirety of the conservative movement, including Matt Walsh and N. Miles Chong. And I've managed to piss off a few of them myself this morning because, you know, I think that there is a line that we need to take in the aftermath of this shooting. If these people don't want to talk about banning AR-15s, if these people don't want to talk about the actual acts of mass violence that happens every single day in this country, then I don't want to hear a single of them talk about the gender identity of this mass shooter. Period. We are not going to play games on their terms. Nevermore. David Pakman, who's a friend of the show, longtime friend of the show, we go way back, he tweeted the following to the dismay of so many conservatives. He said, quote, very surprising that there would be a mass shooting at a Christian school, given that lack of prayer is often blamed for these horrible events. Is it possible they weren't praying enough or correctly, despite being a Christian school? Now, high key, we all know that that's David Pakman trolling the hell out of the white evangelical movement. Writ large, the entire movement, who never fails to stop at thoughts and prayers. They are so committed to their guns that they're not even going to change in the aftermath of this. Right now that this has come to a Christian school, they're not going to change. They're not going to change the guns. All they're going to do is ratchet up their hatred and their vitriol towards the trans community, which is an outlier. Because the truth of the matter is the next person who shoots up their school is going to be a white man. A right-wing, conservative, white man slash boy. They will be the mass shooters next week and the week after that. And so, no, the conservative movement isn't actually concerned about stopping the next act of violence. They would address the identity of the mass shooters. They would address the AR-15s. They are not going to do either. And so here, David Pakman is clearly just sticking it to white Christian evangelicals. Now, listen, should he have waited a couple of days to be respectful to the victims here? Honestly, no, because that is not how we do it in America. Right now, at this moment, there are thousands of far right wing reactionaries gearing up to attack the entirety of the trans community as a political response to this. Not as a genuine response to stop the next mass shooting. No, not at all. They don't intend on stopping the next mass shooting, because to stop the next mass shooting, you would have to stop the sale of AR-15s. Right. So is now the time to have this type of conversation? Because if we don't have it right now, then we're going to be talking about the next mass shooting in the next couple of days. Is now the time to actually rub this hypocrisy in the faces of conservative Christians? Right. All this praying that we're doing, is God responding to you? And listen, I will pause and say this. I am personally praying for those families, as I do in every single case, because I can only imagine the pain. I don't want to imagine the pain. But if we're going to seriously talk about the remedy, then the remedy involves us going through these difficult conversations, these uncomfortable conversations, which to a certain extent might alienate the families. These are families of students who went to a Christian school. Well, we got to have the conversation about the empty platitudes that have been coming from Christian organizations since time immemorial. How Christians and Christianity, white evangelical Christianity, as a political tool, has been used to protect the AR-15, a weapon of war and violence. And because Christians have put their thoughts and prayers, they have interjected it as a solution. Not even as a real solution, as a way to prevent us from getting a real solution, which would be to ban the AR-15. Christians have been on the cutting edge, the tip of the spear, of protecting the NRA and the AR-15. If we're ever going to get to solutions, then we have to have these uncomfortable conversations, which forces us to point out the hypocrisy, and that these white evangelical Christians are running around here talking about thoughts and prayers, and their prayers aren't even saving themselves. So can we do something that we know would? Could we actually do something that would prevent the next family from going through this type of unimaginable pain? Can we? No? So then keep your thoughts and prayers, because God is not listening if you're not going to do the very minimum that you can do as a human being to prevent the next tragedy. You're sending prayers to God when you should be sending legislation to Congress to ban the AR-15.
Go to www.patreon.com/thebpdshow and get twice the content and unfiltered interviews without any of the commercial interruptions. Welcome back to the Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Welcome back. Coming up in the patrons only episode, I will be playing two clips. One of Donald Trump, who has leaned into going up against Ron DeSantis. I do want to discuss that because, well, that is an important fight that is coming up in the primaries leading up to 2024. We'll be discussing that along with a clip of Matt Walsh, who is discussing the positives of colonization. I want to paint a complete picture of the derangement and the evil that we're up against. And I know that we are in an era where everyone seems to be walled off and everyone is pointing to the other one. And everyone is saying that side is bad, that side is evil. But if you cannot objectively sit down and look at the differences in what they believe, what conservatives believe about humanity, about democracy, about freedom, if you can look at what they actually stand for and believe, and not see the stark difference between what we are fighting for and what we believe. What we're fighting for and what we believe in is liberation for all people. No matter who you believe in, no matter who you love, no matter who you worship, no matter how you identify, if you are a human being, you are entitled to be able to live your life as you see fit, so long as you're not infringing on the freedom or the safety of other individuals. That's where we draw the line. So long as what you are doing is not actively harming someone else, so long as you are a consenting adult. See, that consenting adult thing, that's the part that conservatives don't agree with either. They're actively working on getting children to be able to marry, right? Old men be able to take child brides. They reject the idea of consent actively. They put out entire videos, like entire catalogs of content attacking the idea of consent. What we're fighting for over here is for the liberation of all people, no matter what race, no matter what religion, no matter what gender identification, no matter what your sexuality is. You as a human being have the right to determine your own future. You have the right to determine what you do with your body. You have that right. And if you so choose to do like me, I'm just the old school conservative kind of guy. I am. I go to church every single Sunday. I'm a preacher. I am all those things. I choose to live my life in a way that most of you would call conservative. Most of you would call me boring. You wouldn't want to go out and party with me. Not now. No, because I take you somewhere and we go meditate, sit by the ocean somewhere and meditate. That's how I party, right? That's how I choose to live my life. But I absolutely believe that everyone else should be able to live their lives completely different than me. So long as what we are doing in our individual person is not actively harming someone else. And this is a concept that is foreign to conservatism. They need to control your life. They cannot stand the idea that you have a belief system that they can't control, or a belief system that they don't understand, or you love someone that they don't approve of, or you are transitioning into a gender that doesn't match your birth. They're so appalled with you being able to have a decision that they don't approve of, that they want to change the entirety of this system. They are actively organizing at every level of the government, from the dog catcher to school board elections to local municipal elections, all the way to the White House. Conservatives are organizing around this one idea: control you so that they can have as much freedom as they want to. They see freedom as a zero-sum game. They absolutely believe in control. And so if I know I'm preaching to the choir, so I don't quite want to say it like this, but if you cannot see the difference between the two sides that have walled themselves off, no, we're not listening to each other anymore, because there are no conservatives who are willing to reach across the aisle and actually drop. Here's the thing. Drop your racism. Drop your xenophobia, drop your Islamophobia, drop your transphobia, your homophobia, drop all of your bigotry. And then, yes, we can reach hands across the aisles and work on something like banning the AR-15, like getting health care, like ensuring that there is no homelessness when we have a country that has more empty houses than we have homeless people, to make sure that there are no hungry children at night when we have more wasted food at the end of every day than we have hungry children. So if they really want to have some if you want bipartisanship, if that's what you're a stickler for, then I certainly hope that you're also able to distinguish between people who are engaging in good faith and those who are using bipartisanship as a cudgel, as a bludgeoning tool, as a way of slowing progress down, because that's what the conservative movement is about. That's where we are. This is not to say liberalism is perfect. Not by any means. I'm a progressive. So you definitely know I don't believe that liberalism is perfect. We have too many outstanding issues that have to be addressed both domestically and internationally. So no, this is not to say that this side of the equation is perfect. But I will tell you this. There's nothing over there on the side of conservatism except for death. Nothing. Even their faith is filled with hatred and bigotry that leads to death. Even their religious institutions are filled with the same, with more of the hatred and bigotry and violation of human dignity, violation of someone's individual body, their autonomy, the rapes, the molestation that is has impacted and infiltrated and infested their organizations that are now being protected, right? Let's be sure the same people who are preaching against your gender identification or your sexuality are actively protecting the molesters and the pedophiles and the groomers in their churches. So when I say that there's nothing over there but death, there's nothing over there but trauma, there's nothing over there but bigotry, there's nothing over there but the hatred of everything that is not straight white Christian men and the accomplices who sign up to do their dirty work. Patrons, stay tuned. Everyone else, patreon.com/thebpdshow, or I'll see you tomorrow.